Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Relevant Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shape the Trinity League. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson.
Thank you again for joining us on Catholic Sports View. I am Bob Gibson, and we wish you a happy Advent season as we continue our journey towards Christmas. And later on in the program, we will hear from Chris Ledyard. He is the athletic director at J. Sarah High School, and he's going to talk about some exciting new technology that J. Sarah is at the forefront of. So looking forward, as always, to hear from the athletic director at J. Sarah Catholic, Chris Ledyard. And then we're going to hear from the basketball coach, the boys basketball coach at Santa Margarita Catholic, and that is Jeff Reinert. And exciting times at Santa Margarita, that boys basketball program primed for a big season in the Trinity League. But we kick things off quite literally by talking with the head football coach at Modern Day High School, Bruce Rawlinson. They have another CIF Division I championship under their belt, and they're looking to win another state championship today, as a matter of fact, as of this recording. Of course, we're talking with Coach earlier in the week, but when you hear this interview, today will be the day that Modern Day is playing De La Salle for that state championship.
Coach, the road, a little bumpier maybe this time around to get there, but still, you got there, CIF championship, and a chance to play once again for a state championship. And I know you couldn't be prouder of your team and what they've accomplished to this point.
Yeah, I mean, Bob, it's been one of those years. This is actually a very young football team, believe it or not. There's a lot of sophomores and juniors that have a major impact on the game. You know, we're playing with three freshmen that get a lot of snaps in varying offenses and defenses that we're doing. You know, we had growing pains, we had maturity pains, but we're coming together now. It's a lot of it transpired after the Bosco first round game, or the league game, when we got boat raced pretty good that night. And, you know, I challenged them, and they knew what led up to it. IMG let down. We didn't have the same edge. There wasn't the same intensity in practice. And then the wake-up call, and it helped us, you know, to prepare for Bosco. And you know, yeah, we're extremely excited. Whenever you win a Division I title, and I'm in the old school, you know. I say this with complete respect to De La Salle, but I'd be good at 14 games, you know. But that's not the way it's designed. And I say this in all sincerity, you know, you win the Division I title, and you should be getting ready to decorate your house for Christmas, but your reward is you get to play De La Salle.
Right.
And I said that last year, and I think whoever wins it next year, be it us or whoever it is, you know, I think the same scenario is going to happen. You know, it's obvious their dominance in the northern section is incredible. Now, let's get real about the football game. They're a much improved football team. They were young last year. They have a lot of the same players back, and those players are going to have an edge. I'm glad we don't have to go to Sacramento. That added to the pressure of the final game when you're running on fumes, both physically, emotionally, and mentally. A nice 35-minute ride up to Cerritos College will help.
A little bit easier.
But when the game goes off at 8:07 on Spectrum, I mean, it's going to be a flat-out war. And you know, we know what we need to do. They know what they need to do. I feel good about the fact that we're as healthy as you can possibly be. Obviously, you know, we don't have Miles, and we knew about Mace a long time ago. But most of the kids are maybe not 100%, but they're close to it.
Nobody's 100% this time of year.
Yeah, right? Exactly. But we're liking where we're at health-wise. I think there is an advantage, you know, and in the fact that they played Saturday night and then they had to twist it around Monday and get ready, and they have to travel. We had last week off. We used it for a lot of rehab. I thought we had three good football practices, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you know, which I think is an advantage. And I made the decision to give them the weekend plus Monday off, and I'm really kind of anxious to see what their demeanor is this afternoon when we go at 4:00. You know, they should have a little bit of grateful that they've had some time off, and they should be excited. because there's a game at the end of this week.
Right.
And there's a big game at the end of this week. And, you know, we have our Final Four practices here at Mater Dei, and then we'll put the show on the road.
You know, you mentioned maybe not having that edge the first time around against Bosco. And the situation was weird, the Lightning and then switching the game to Saturday. But, you know, we've talked about this before. I mean, we're talking about 16, 17, 18-year-old kids and somebody got a C on a chemistry test or somebody's girlfriend broke up with them or whatever it be. Yeah. You know, you're talking about kids here, you know, and they're not always going to be able to be 100% or come, you know, with their heads into it every single time. This time around, though, everybody was on the same page, right? What was so different about this time against Bosco than the first time, other than maybe those circumstances that were kind of out of everybody's control the first time?
Well, I think the first thing, people don't realize how hard these kids work for the opportunity to play in the Division I final. And you tag that name onto the game, the enormity of the game goes up. I don't believe that anything having to do with the delay or the Lightning and the bushes on fire had anything to do with anything. If it did, then how come Bosco played perfect? And they would have, to me, they would have had it more difficult. They had to go all the way back to Bellflower, then come all the way back down from Bellflower, and we drove 10 minutes back to the high school. I don't know whether we'd have played it on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday that first time around. They played, and they played better than us, and there was something wrong with the football team emotionally. We bring emotion, we're a pretty good football team. We play with focus, we're a pretty good football team. Yes, when you're immature and growing and getting game experience, you're going to have your ups and downs. You know, some kids aren't going to be as focused as the other ones, you know, and that's why I think they'll be real focused for the state championship game. But, again, there's going to be a lot of adversity in that football game. You know, just the fact that us trying to run the triple option against our defense is a project. They have no clue. I mean, you know, you and I know what the triple option is. Unfortunately, they don't watch a lot of Georgia Tech football games. They don't watch a lot of Army football or Navy football in college. What they watch is spread it. They watch our offense, you know, or similarities to our offense. So we have to start at ground zero to teach our service kids. And then De La Salle has a unique way of running it. You know, they just come down and boom, they come right at you. And they're you know, you can stop it. But we're dealing with high school kids that don't see it. And if I've got the pitch man and I decide one time, well, I'm not getting any action out here running after this pitch man. I'm going to go sniff around. It looks like it's fun to go get that dive guy. Right. Bang, out comes the pitch, and they just broke your back.
Right.
So it's a tremendous challenge. But like I say, we want to have four good practices and then just throw caution to the wind and see where she lands.
We're visiting with Bruce Rawlinson, the head coach of Mater Dei High School, and, of course, the defending back-to-back now, Division I champions, getting to play for another state championship game, a game they won a year ago against this very same opponent, De La Salle. You know, you mentioned the kids, and it's a young team.
Yeah.
Last year's team, that one was a very experienced team.
Exactly.
But I have to think that even though you know your quarterback's new, and one of your running backs is new to the program, but I have to think so many of those kids watched what all those kids did last year, the kids that came back this year, and they learned from that. And that's, I mean, it has to have helped their development. And now they're the experienced team now, and they know what it takes to get to this point. And I have to think that helped win a couple of weeks ago, and it's going to help on Saturday.
Well, it's a great point that you're bringing up, because we train year-round to play in December. And we learned our lessons about preparation with a bye. And, you know, I thought we did a good job last year, and there was a couple things that we did a little bit differently this year. And, you know, so it's not a surprise. That experience, you know, and there's a lot of them that were involved in the state game last year, they know what they're walking into. But it is, any year of modern day football, I really believe this, that is the responsibility of the senior class that goes out to establish the way it should be, the way you do it, the way you get to a championship, the way you, and in this case, the seniors that are no longer with us, how to go win a state title. And, you know, we've shown our game tape over and over, not because we played so well, but there's a lot of opportunities that they had. And we try to show them, look, if this doesn't happen, they're scoring. Okay, if this doesn't happen, De La Salle turned the football over 5 times last year. That is so uncharacteristic of them. They're not going to turn the football over 5 times Saturday night. I'll bet you they don't turn it over once. Right. You know, and I hope we don't turn it over. So, you know, now the match is on. You know, they do what they do. They're married to the triple, although, like I said, they do some single back stuff if they get behind the chains. They're going to run their 40 front at you, and they're very active up front. And I'll tell you what, they got 2 linebackers that bring a load. We feel confident in our skills, so it's kind of like, okay, we've got to keep the football. We've got to move the chains, and we've got to score to have success Saturday night.
Yeah. You know, you've made a lot of decisions over your 30-year career here at Modern Day, but I got to think one of the better ones was bringing back Eric Johnson to be your defensive coordinator, yeah, because the game plan he put together this last time against Bosco and the way the kids went out and executed it, I mean, was a thing of beauty.
Well, you know, Eric is a phenomenal defensive coordinator, and he was very disappointed in the performance of the defense. More because we still, you could sit around for, like we did, for a couple of weeks trying to figure out what happened. You know, we had kids we call blitz, and they weren't blitzing. For some reason, they got rocked back. They lost their confidence. And, you know, that wasn't the case the second time around. And like I say, if you put the last 5 games together since the first Bosco game, you know, we've improved dramatically. We're playing well together. The kids are accepting the accountability and the responsibilities it takes to be a modern-day football player. And, again, we're dodging the injury bullet.
Yeah. A couple more minutes here with Bruce Rawlinson, head football coach, modern-day high school, as they prepare to play for a state championship against De La Salle, the champions of Northern California, a game that we saw just a year ago that came out of modern-day side. And it should be another good one again this year. Yeah, I mentioned your quarterback, Bryce Young, and boy, the way he's matured this year and the way he has really, you know, become the head of this modern-day offense. I mean, it almost seems seamless. There may have been some bumps along the way. There's stuff in practice we probably didn't see that he had to come through. But, boy, he's a special talent, as everybody has seen this year.
No, Bryce is he gets better each week. Yeah. He sees the defenses better. We don't mess around in the sense that, you know, we're going to give him as much as he can handle, and we're going to give him more than that and see what lands right and what doesn't land right. And each week he's grasping more and more of what we're trying to accomplish. The sky's the limit to what you can do with your quarterback in the audibilization and the signaling system to give you the best opportunity to have success. He's increased those opportunities for our success by changing the direction of the play, by changing the play completely, by changing routes on the fly. And then you add the dimension. You know, people remember, yeah, JT ran the ball a little bit as a senior. Not nearly as much as Bryce Young. He's, you know, and JT wouldn't care that I said this. Bryce Young is more elusive than JT Daniels. He's basically a tailback with a $1 million arm.
Right.
He makes people miss. He knows how to protect himself. He's not an automatic slider, but he knows when to slide. He knows when to duck it out of bounds. He smells it. He feels it. And, you know, we're looking for big things from him Saturday night. He's got to carry the offense. But it's like I told him weeks ago, this is your offense. You assert yourself, okay? You don't like something or you don't like a call, let's discuss it after practice. Let's, if you want to work on some stuff that you like better than what we're presenting you, it's an open dialogue. You're the one that's got to put it in. You're the offensive coordinator on the football field. And he's assuming that role. I think he's taken over in the sense that he understands what we want. We give him a lot of freedom. And we don't, you know, if he makes a bad decision, we just correct the decision, you know, and live with it. And what I like about him is he's never down and he's never too far crazy up, you know. He doesn't get all that excited when he makes a great play because he expects that out of himself, but he never gets down. If he throws a bad ball, if he makes a mistake or misses an audible, he doesn't get that down. And the final thing that what really, really, leads me to believe in him, he's the first one that'll point at himself if the mistake's on him. And that takes a strong character kid.
Yeah.
You know, coach, that's on me. Don't even go anywhere else. That's totally on me. I misread it. I forgot. I missed the signal. Whatever it is. And it can be a couple of different, it's just a bad throw. Or I missed the read. I should have pulled it. That makes it easy to work with. That makes it easy to work with. And there are boys on my team, and there's boys that we play against that'll never admit that it was their fault. You know, it's always somebody else's fault.
Right.
And you feel bad for them, and you try to point out, I'm not so sure there, brother. That might have been yours. You know? But even at that point, it's kids.
Yeah.
It's kids. Because, you know, Bob, when it's all spun around, I'm taking 15, 16, and 17-year-olds into this game with a few 18-year-olds.
Right.
So.
It's so true.
And they've been playing for 20 weeks.
Obviously, this season was the chance to win, you know, back-to-back CIF titles.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had talked about it. It had been a while, obviously, since Mater Dei had won one. I just saw on social media recently the video from the Eisenhower game, you know, the first one for you, you know, way back when. Still is exciting for you. Obviously, you never know when the next one's going to come. The success here is unprecedented, but just as exciting for you now to win the championship as it was back when you beat Ike?
For sure. And the fashion that we wanted, but they're all special.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, you know, the Bosco 2018 CIF championship game will go into the annals of probably one of the top 3 to 5 games played in my tenure, for sure. The way it went unfolded, my wife says this all the time. She was nervous, you know, with 10 seconds left. And I looked at her and I said, I was nervous on the last 3 seconds because of DJ. But that's also why you coach. You know, you put a plan into effect, and then you let the kids, and when the plan works, you let the kids do the plan, and then when it works, you feel pretty good about it. You know, we tried to screw the plan up a little bit at times, but that's high school football. But I will tell you this, Bob, and I'm glad you bring it up. You know, when I went to the luncheon on Monday of the week of the game, I was as excited for that luncheon as I was back in 91 and the first one. It is a special week. It's a special honor to play in that game. And, you know, yeah, you don't want to be the runner-up, but if that's what happens, at least you made it. We got past, it's not about making, it's about winning it. And to go back-to-back was a special feeling. And to have the opportunity to play in the state game back-to-back is a tremendous opportunity. But you and I know what you do with opportunity determines the outcome.
Yep.
What we do with this opportunity will determine the overall season. Yeah, there's people that'll say, well, you still won the Division I title. Yeah, but we lost our last game. You know? Because they only remember the last game.
Right.
And I'm hoping that, you know, we have them ready Saturday night.
Coach, you know we're pulling for you. Go get another state title.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it.
All right.
Keep doing the great work you do, Bob. Thank you.
I appreciate that. That means a lot. That's Bruce Rawlinson, the head football coach at Mater Dei High School. Much more to come right here on Catholic Sports View. Stay with us. You're listening to Relevant Radio.
In L.A. County, there are more than 28,000 children in foster care. And sadly, every day more children enter the system. But their story doesn't have to end there. Maybe you've been thinking about starting or expanding your family. If so, there's a child in foster care waiting for you. A simple visit to fosterall.org can change the course of a child's life and yours. As a proud partner with the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, Foster All takes the guesswork out of navigating the foster adopt process and will match you with a foster family agency that suits your needs. Each agency is different, so let Foster All be your guide. Log on to fosterall.org. There's a community of amazing people waiting to support your decision to love a child, and Foster All is right beside you the entire way. Do you have room in your heart and your home for a child? Begin your journey with Foster All today at fosterall.org. That's fosterall.org.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports View. We go out on our line out to talk now with the head basketball coach at Santa Margarita Catholic High School, and that is Jeff Reinert. Coach, I know you're on the road. You got your team playing in some tournaments, but thanks for taking a couple of minutes for us.
Yeah, no problem.
It's obviously a whirlwind time of the year. Anytime beginning of the basketball season, it's always tournament season before the beginning of the new year, which then the league kicks in. Do you like the hustle and bustle of getting out on the road and getting your team kind of battle tested?
Well, we have a veteran team, and we were trying to balance our schedule because we lose a lot of seniors next year. So we figured this year we'll put them on the road and get them battle tested, ready for the Trinity League and playoffs, and get them out there. It's been really, really good for us to play some very, very difficult teams early on.
20-win season a year ago, second place finish in league. Obviously, not the way you wanted it to finish in the playoffs. But what did that experience do for this team, which now comes back and brings that with them?
Well, I think this. Towards the end of the year when we went into playoffs, we played at Atawanda as the 7th seed. They were the 2 seed. Lost a very, very close game. It came down to one possession, which happens when you're playing the open division. It's very difficult to win on the road. And Atawanda had won 28 straight. So we gave a great battle and had a chance. And if a couple other things go our way, we upset them. But then Jake Kyman got hurt. Our best player got hurt the following games. And so we ended up losing some close ones, one to Rancho Christian, and then a tough one up at Crespi. So those are just some games that we had, and we're playing against the best, and that's what we want to do here at Santa Margarita.
Yeah, obviously, it's you play the kids that come to your school and in a public school setting. You coaches, you get what you get. Sometimes you can obviously when you have kids at a private school, kids choose to come to that school, so you can kind of sometimes get some players in that want to be a part of your program. It's not always easy to get size these days, but your program seems to have good size within it, and that seems to have been a good advantage for you a year ago as well.
We've been lucky to get size. I don't know if that continues in the future. I think we'll get a lot smaller next year, but we have that now, and it's been beneficial to us. The one thing we've really struggled is to get really, really good guard play. And this year we have good guard play. We have a young man, Kendall McHugh, at the point that we haven't had a quality point guard like that. We also have a kid named Jake Blazona, who's another guard that, is a very intelligent point guard. And then we have another kid that'll be who will be eligible after the 26th, Sheila Robbins, who transferred in from Mission Viejo High School, really improved our guard play over the last year.
You mentioned before about getting battle tested for league. Obviously, the Trinity League. We talk about it during football season. What a gauntlet it is. But basketball is no different. I mean, it's crazy when you talk about having, of course, modern day the defending the league and CIF champion. We know Jay Sarah is an up and coming program. They're getting better. St. John Bosco has had a good program here for a while now. Olu, I think, kind of looms as a dark horse probably in the league as well. I mean, it's always a coin flip every week, it seems like, in the Trinity.
Well, I would say this. It's probably the most balanced it's been top to bottom since I've been here. Modern Day is always good and always will be good. Olu has the best player in the league. Thon Maker's brother is there, and he is 6'9", 6'10", and he is extremely good.
Right.
He's a high major player. So that puts Olu in the discussions for league championships. St. John Bosco, the way the schedule's set up, has Modern Day and Santa Margarita at home this year. Only a 5-game Trinity League schedule. So Bosco probably would be favored to win the league. And then Jay Sarah, the new coach there, new blood in there, got a bunch of transfers in there. They're much improved. So the league has really, really improved, and it'll be a battle all the way through.
Yeah, and just, getting a chance to only play the league, I guess, one time through this year. Do you like that? Do you like the idea of that? Does that benefit teams?
No, I wasn't really in favor of that.
Yeah.
But the CIF has moved the basketball schedule up 2 weeks earlier and ending 2 weeks earlier than it had over 2 years ago. So it became very, very difficult to squeeze the 10 league games in second semester, so we couldn't get get all the games in a 2-week period during school time. So we would have had to play 2 games prior to school starting, which I was in favor of, but I didn't have the votes. But it'll make it a challenging schedule for everybody, because now you can schedule more challenging games and travel a little bit more on the national level and to really show what the Trinity League is all about.
Jeff Reinert, our guest, head boys basketball coach at Santa Margarita Catholic High School. You got the job a few years back, and you come into the Trinity League, and obviously with all your college coaching experience coming in, why was this the right job for you?
Well, my daughter was going into the 8th grade 7 years ago, and I had been out at Fresno State as the associate head coach. A young man named Paul George, who's now, you know, with the Oklahoma Thunder, left to go to the NBA. We couldn't turn around the program, so we got let go. And I was out of coaching for 8 months, and my wife wanted me to be in one situation, and we agreed that the Santa Margarita job was a great job for us. And I was able to spend, you know, 5 years really in an important time with my daughter at the junior high and at the high school level. And so I was able to watch her play volleyball and ride to school with her. And that was so, so important for me and our family at the time. And then I've been able to, the last 2 years, to go watch her play at Santa Clara volleyball in the fall. And then once basketball season comes, then I'm pretty locked in. But I've been able to be pretty lucky to watch her compete and be around her during a very important time of her life.
Is coaching high school basketball, obviously a different age bracket for kids, but I mean, is basketball still coaching basketball, or is there a big difference when you're talking about coaching college kids versus high school kids?
Yeah, there are different times in their lives and different priorities. In college, you know, they're all locked in to be, you know, they're all competitive guys. They've been training and they've been working to be in college, and they're usually, you know, physically a different player. So there's a big difference between high school and college. But the competition is the same, and that's what has been really good at Santa Margarita. The program has risen to be an open division program, so we're competing against the best in Southern California, and when you're doing that, you're competing against the best nationally. So that piece kind of feels like a college level for sure, and we've been able to be in the open for the last 3 years, and hopefully this will be the 4th year that we're able to compete at that level.
You know, you're out on the road, and obviously basketball lends itself to being able to play, programs from different parts of the country and whatnot. Do we see the level of basketball here as good as it is anywhere? I mean, we've got Sierra Canyon and what Bishop Montgomery's done the last few years, and even in the city section, Westchester has been a big power for a long time. Are we seeing great basketball that stands up here in Southern California?
Well, you look nationally, recruiting wise of Division I programs. California is a hotbed for sure of talent. And so you see in the southern section, in the LA section, you've seen some of the best teams in the country. So nationally, by far, you see all of the programs rated very, very high. Bishop Montgomery's had a great run. Modern Day's had a great run. Sierra Canyon is a new player on the scene in that way. And then, you know, traditional powers like Santa Margarita and St. John Bosco and Westchester and everybody, it's Fairfax. You're seeing some wonderful basketball. There's been a nice Rancho Christian has really made a big move with the Mobley brothers. Mm-hmm. And so it is an exciting time to go watch high school basketball in the southern section.
Boy, it really is. I mean, without a doubt, I'm always telling people on here, get out and watch it, because the level of, we talked about earning football, the level of football, of course, in this area is second to none. The level of basketball, I think I would agree with you, same as well. Last couple of minutes here with the head basketball coach at Santa Margarita Catholic High School, and that is Jeff Reinert. As you look at your team, we talked about it's a tough road to hoe, but you got to feel good about having that experience behind you as you head into the league part of the season coming up here first of the year.
Yeah, I we have a veteran group. Our front line is Shinji Lee, a 6'11" center from China that has, had a good year last year. He's having a really good year this year. He's going to go to BYU. He signed a letter of intent. Jake Kyman, who is committed to play at UCLA, is our leading scorer and rebounder. Very, very talented young man. Max Ogbonpolo is a 6'8" guard that is special in a lot of ways. Those are the three that lead us, and our complementary players are very, very good. We've been out to Northern California. We played a very tough Modesto Christian team and won. We went out to Vegas and beat a talented number three team in the state of Nevada. We also lost to Clark High School, who's really, really good, the number two team. We'll also play the number one team out of Nevada here later in the year, which would be January 12th or January 24th, I'm sorry. And we'll also play Oak Hill Academy, who's probably number one in the country. We're playing an extremely difficult schedule, but I believe that these are the type of games that our kids want to play in the national level that I think our program's at.
Yeah, no, it's obviously when you're a Trinity League team, right? You're in the thick of it, and you're obviously part of the discussion. Coach, I want to thank you. I know it's a busy time. Good luck, and we're going to be following the Eagles as you get through here, and we're excited about that Trinity League schedule coming up.
All right, sounds good.
All right, thanks. That's Jeff Reinert, the head basketball coach at Santa Margarita Catholic High School. Much more to come right here on Catholic Sports View on Relevant Radio.
Don't miss this one-of-a-kind Christmas spectacular performed by the hashtag Media Nuns, the Daughters of St. Paul. See the sisters live in concert on December 15th and 16th at Barnum Hall in Santa Monica. Be inspired by the joy of the sisters and the true meaning of Christmas. For details and tickets, go to pauline.org/LA Concert. That's pauline.org/LA Concert and celebrate the true meaning of Christmas.
To Catholic Sports View. Well, we were supposed to have athletic trainer from J. Sarah Catholic High School, Jamie Rogers, on, but Jamie's a little under the weather, so we want to send him our best wishes. Lost his voice, which is not good when you're talking about doing a radio interview, but we have a very capable pinch hitter coming in, and that is the athletic director at J. Sarah Catholic, and that is Chris Ledyard. And we appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, good to be here. Always good.
Perfect. Let's talk about a couple of things going on at JCR. A lot of stuff going on, of course. But one thing that was in the news recently is this new program that you've put together for your athletic program. And it's really a groundbreaking program, I guess. And that is taking your student athletes and doing brain scans and coming up with ways to hopefully, I guess, help kids who might end up with concussions. You know, we see that as a big issue, especially in the football world. But, you know, certainly it's an overarching thing within athletics. But, you know, this really is a groundbreaking program. How did this come about at J. Sarah Catholic?
You know what? This came about from I actually heard about it through a kid from Ohio that had worked for me for several years in my athletic department. Back at Franciscan University. So that's where it came about. He now lives in San Diego, and he heard I was here, and he called up and said, hey, I've got some information on a new technology. Are you interested in talking? And I said, yeah. So he isn't even actually working for the company. He saw this and said, hey, you got to check out Baseline. So he introduced me to the guys from Baseline, and it went from there.
Explain to us what the technology is.
Well, basically, I mean, my position on this is knowledge is power. And when you're talking about concussions through the last, you know, 25 years of being an AD, it's always a sort of subjective view. What you do is you do certain concussion testing, you know, balance testing, eye tests, and you sort of make an educated guess as to where or what level of place that athlete is in when it comes to the functioning of their brain. And what happens with this technology is they can read your brain waves functioning in what they call a baseline test before you get hit. So that when you receive a concussion, we have a baseline on every athlete. Now when that athlete gets struck in some way, you bring them in and you see how the brain waves differ, and you are able to objectively see what level of concussion you have for the process of return to play or even return to academic work.
Right. And I think it's interesting because You just mentioned you spent the last 25 years as an athletic director. You've seen so much go on. Are we seeing more concussions taking place now, or are we just better at diagnosing concussions that maybe we didn't know about in previous years?
Well, definitely the latter. I mean, in the early days, someone would get hit, and literally your coach would say to you, "Hey, man, you got your bell rung, man. Get up. Let's go."
Yeah.
Sort of move on to the next thing. You know, we didn't know. And now what's happening is, like I said, knowledge is power. Now what's happening is little by little, we started to, you know, come to different ways to understand more. And now this technology is saying, look, you can objectively know what your next step is supposed to be. Now, this is, there's a lot of levels of concussion. So this technology is truly groundbreaking. I mean, it is something that if you were looking at a kid, and let's say, you know, I don't know which, how much you know about concussions, but your body has to reset. Your brain has to reset. And sometimes what happens is you literally function, you're moving too much, or you're, you know, whatever you're continuing to do in your life is not letting your brain return to its proper state. So, for example, that could be literally going to classes. That could be reading. That could be playing. Your body at times needs to completely rest, shut down, rest, and let your brain recover. What this does, this technology tells you that you're in that state or you're not in that state. So, for example, you know, I had a girl play who was playing soccer for me when I was coaching collegiate, and the girl got hit in the nose and was out for a little while. And then we, you know, went to classes and then started falling asleep in classes and started having all. And we had, you know, a lot of people looking at her, but she kept going backwards in her concussive state.
Mm.
And she ended up having to step out of school for 2 months.
Wow.
Rest, come back in. Had they known, had they been able to do a brain scan right away, they literally would have said to her immediately, "You cannot return to school." And this, she would have literally had a much quicker recovery time than what she ended up having.
Yeah. It's interesting because, and one thing I do know in the research that I've done is no two brains are alike. Everybody's brain is different in the way it's structured and where everything kind of fits within the brain. So every case is unique, obviously, into itself. You know, it's not a broken arm where we set it and, you know, it goes on its way or whatever. This kind of technology will basically map somebody's unique brain, right? And then the doctors will know and the trainers will know how to go forward for that individual.
That is correct. But it also gives credence to us men that are married when we say to our wives, "Listen, no two brains are alike."
Amen to that.
No, the brain studies honestly, truly are, you know, they're revolutionary. I mean, what we're finding out about the brain is incredible. I'll give you one example that we had here, which I really thought was a confirmation that we're doing the right thing. We had an athlete in here who, you know, they took his brain scan, and his mother was actually in the room. It was during the pilot testing that we were doing here. And the guy running the brain scan, you know, just turned to the mother at some point and said, "I want you to know, the good news is, you know, your son is not concussed." He said, "The bad news is your son has ADD.
Wow.
And the mother said, "Yeah, we already knew that." And so, to me, that was just amazing that objectively they could see that in a brain scan. And yet the mom and dad already knew that, and they had been working with that for, you know, 2 or 3 years previous.
And I guess maybe that's the point of it, too, is you never know what you might find in addition to things that are with a concussion.
Yes, and, you know, that's the terrifying part. But at the same time, you know, like I said, knowledge is power, so when you have that knowledge, you know what to do from there.
Yeah, absolutely. Chris Lydiard is our guest, the athletic director at J. Sarah Catholic High School, and we're talking about the brain scan technology that basically, you know, the Lions are pioneering here, at least within our area, within Southern California, within the Trinity League. Obviously, I would think your fellow athletic directors around the league, around Southern California, are going to want to pick your brain if they aren't already in trying to implement this in their schools. Is there a chance we're going to see this more widespread?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I've already had some discussions with a few of the ADs.
Yeah, I bet.
Big. But also, just I think nationwide. I think we're blessed right now to be somewhat near baseline as a company. I've met with a lot of individuals who were in the Pittsburgh studies early on in concussion. So, you know, you'd know about from the concussion movie and from League of Denial,
right?
The documentary. And some of those doctors have gotten involved as well. And that's been interesting because the confirmation from one of those doctors was a part of what has sort of helped launch this in Southern California. One of those guys lives here. I cannot remember his name. But he came in a few times, and so we were discussing results and whether or not this is legitimate and that kind of thing. So when he put a stamp on it, it was very helpful.
Yeah, obviously football is, you know, is at the forefront just because of the head collisions and everything that goes on, and people think of that. But, you know, there's so many other sports, you know, involved here. We've seen baseball players whose careers have been cut short from concussions. You know, you don't necessarily think of baseball as a sport where the heads collide, but it does happen. Basketball, soccer, I think, is a big one. I would think lacrosse, you know, obviously has, you know, some of these issues as well. Are we seeing more and more in other sports that we don't think about necessarily?
Again, I go back to the... No, I don't think we're seeing more. I think we're identifying more.
Okay, yeah.
I don't think there are more. I think what's happening is that now we know what these things mean, and now we know that they can be significant. So what we're doing is we're gaining, you know, the objective truth that we need to. But, yes, when we're looking at sports, you basically categorize sports in three different areas. You have collision, you have contact, and then you have non-contact. So non-contact sport would be something obvious like cross-country, but at the same time, people fall. And things happen. So what we're trying to do is take a look at mitigating risks. Of course, we want to, in theory, all collision sports, you know, should be, I think, you know, in time, should be tested so that you can, you know, truly live up to the concept of safety first. But contact sports are rough, too. I mean, there's none of us that would say basketball is not rough these days.
Right.
Or, you know, that soccer is not, you know, experiencing a tremendous amount of concussions. I mean, those things happen. Then we have the rise of lacrosse and rugby in Southern California. These are great sports, but they need to be, again, we need to mitigate the risks for the kids' health as they go.
I'll tell you, a big contact sport these days, and maybe people don't think about it, is water polo. Water polo is a rough sport. There's a lot of contact that goes on in the pool. Swimming, the other side of it. Swimming's probably the safest of all sports, but water polo, not necessarily. Are you seeing benefits already with the testing and what's going on?
Yes, absolutely. What we're seeing is you come back with a result to a parent, and you're saying, this is exactly the state that your son or daughter's brain is in at this point, and this is exactly what you need to do for return to play. And it's really exciting. It's like seeing new news that you couldn't see before.
Yeah. Yeah, this is exciting. This is
application. I'm not 100% sure how we're going to apply this as we go, but as we ask, you know, the parents, obviously the vast majority of parents say, yes, go ahead and test.
I would think so, yeah. I mean, you think most parents would want to know this, right? So if there is an injury, something does happen, you're right. You have that baseline to work from. And as you said, knowledge is power.
Yeah, we just had an issue literally recently where one of our coaches had a head injury. And it has nothing to do with sports. But he would be able to, if we did this and just as a life thing, you bang your head on something, you know how far you are into it and what happened. Because he's had some issues with literally going backwards with this concussion and now has to be out for a few days as a result.
Wow. I look forward to where this is headed because, right, I think we've just scratched the surface, obviously, with this research, and I think this opens the door to a lot more down the line as well.
Amen.
Yeah, good thing. Our guest is Chris Ledyard, J. Sarah Catholic High School Athletic Director. Let's switch gears just a little bit here in the last couple of minutes we have with you. Your football program, what a year it was for the J. Sarah Lions football program. Head coach Pat Harlow, I think everybody has to be excited about what happened with the program this season, where this program is certainly headed. Obviously, this was a big step. For so many years, we've talked about when is J. Sarah going to make that step in the Trinity League. I think this was the first definitive step where we said, hey, J. Sarah is now among the top teams, not only in Southern California, but you know, nationwide. This is a team that was nationally ranked at points during this season. Obviously, you've got to be thrilled with what transpired and where everything's headed right now.
I am. I'm thrilled with the base of, you know, coaches first. I'm thrilled with the J. Sarah staff. We as a coaching staff over here have been talking about education-based athletics in a pretty specific way over the last 2 years.
Right.
We've been talking about how what the greatness is important to go after. It absolutely is. But the transformation of the athlete is our most important point, and we have to keep, as we build the athletic prowess, we also have to build the educational status. You know, I want these guys to be the academicians that they need to be here, and we need to build opportunities for their spiritual growth. And all three of those things are happening. And so for us, as a group of coaches, you know, Pat Harlow has really led the way in the concepts that we've been describing about transformational coaching and not, you know, moving away from transactional, you know, pick on a kid, push a kid around, get him angry, and have him go out there and hit somebody.
Right.
We're getting to the point of, no, we want to talk about the athlete's transformation in mind, body, and spirit. And so I always, you know, I've always been a believer that wins come from that, that when you do that, wins come. So I'll give you an example. When we, at the end of every season here, I started doing evaluations with the athletes. So literally old school written evaluations where they're asked a number of questions. And one of the questions is, what did you like most overall for the season? And the vast majority of the football players wrote the brotherhood and the friendship as their number one reason that they love the season. Competitive nature of it was the third on that. And second was the Jay Sarah coaching staff. So that's some pretty impressive answers from teenagers. And that kind of culture that built the win, I'm riding high at this point. I feel like that is absolutely the kind of thing we want to sustain.
Right. And then I know from day one, when you showed up on campus, this is the type of culture and this is the type of atmosphere you wanted to build at J. Sarah. It's there. It's happening. And the right kind of young man, the right kind of young woman are showing up on campus and in choosing to be a part of the J. Sarah family.
Yeah, Bob, I couldn't agree more. I so much appreciate these coaches right now. I am in such a an interesting state, just being able to work with these guys day to day and these gals day to day. As this coaching staff transitions, we have people who are walking in the front door, you know, recognizing right away that the education-based model that the CIF talks about and that Mr. Weigott has talked about since I got here, I love it. I think we're on track, and we just need to keep doing what we're doing.
I would agree. Your entire athletic program is on track. It's right. From a competition standpoint, it's right there. But you're right. More importantly, from a standpoint of, you know, having good people, having good athletes, good coaches, you know, everybody, you know, being on board and being part of the philosophy and the mission that is set forth, you know, very plainly from the school.
Amen.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And as we transition into basketball, I know you got a first-year boys coach who's ready to get things going. Coach Rosignol's ready to get the girls program going. We got all the rest of the winter sports as well.
They're both off to a great start, that's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. We're looking forward to covering that and then as we head into the spring season as well. We will catch up with you again very soon. We appreciate you once again pitch hitting for athletic trainer Jamie Rogers today and appreciate you talking about that new brain scan technology going on. Chris, thanks again. Well, we appreciate the time.
Thank you, Rob.
Chris Ledyard, the athletic director at J. Sarah Catholic High School. Much more to come right here on Catholic Sports View. You're listening to Relevant Radio.
This is John Romero, the music director at Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove. And if there is just one Christmas concert this year that you have time to attend, this is it. The annual tradition of Christmas at the Cathedral. Friday night, December 14th, 7:30 p.m. Over 175 singers from all of our choirs, the Vivaldi Gloria, carols. Do not miss this concert.
Christ Cathedral Concerts. Great music in a sacred place. For tickets, visit ChristCathedralMusic.org.
This is Deacon Steve Greco, and I'm radio host of the show Empowered by the Spirit. I've recently written a book, Expect and Experience Miracles, that is available on Amazon. And the reason we did that is because the Lord Jesus Christ wants to shower us with His love and shower us with His grace, which is unmerited favor. The definition of miracle is God's supernatural intervention in our lives. And Jesus does that all the time. Let's be open to it. Expect miracles, and you will see the grace that God has in store for you. God bless you all.
Welcome back to the program. program this week. I am Bob Gibson, and as we've been doing throughout the summer, we take a look back at some of the better stories that we were able to bring you throughout this past school year, and one of them was a chance to talk with Corey Johnson. She's the cheer coach at Costa Mesa High School, and not a Trinity League school, but I'll tell you what, Costa Mesa High School has put themselves on the map as the top cheer program in Southern California. Lots of Team Mater Dei, lots of the Trinity schools are coming around now, because cheer has become a competitive sport that's being recognized by the CIF, and Costa Mesa has really been at the forefront of making that happen. So here's a look back at the interview we did a while back with Corey Johnson, the cheer coach at Costa Mesa High School. Corey, thanks for joining us here this week.
No problem. It's totally an honor for you to interview me about cheer, and my heart's with Trinity League a little bit too. My mom taught there, my sisters went there, and got to support all the schools in Orange County.
Perfect. No, that's good. So we do have a connection, which is good. And
Mater Dei,
we'll talk about it. Mater Dei is actually the only Trinity League school right now that's sort of participating in it. And we'll talk about the two sides of cheer as we go along with the interview here. But talk to me a little bit about this recent development this year with CIF. And CIF is going to recognize, you know, cheer as a sport now for the girls who participate in it.
Right. In the 17-18 school year, that's the first year that CIF has recognized cheer as a sport. And there's actually three components of cheer being a sport. There's the traditional sideline, which is not recognized. And that's what everybody knows about cheerleading, you know, cheering on the football teams, basketball teams, on the sidelines, doing rallies, community service, et cetera. Then there's traditional competitive cheer, which most people are familiar with. It's what you see on ESPN, going to competitions. So they are recognizing that as a sport as well. And that actually Mater Dei and Santa Margarita and St. Joseph, I believe Rosary also, they all compete in that.
Okay.
And then there's a third aspect, which is called competitive sport cheer, which is also known as stunt. And that is the new game situation of cheer. And that's been around for about 8 years at the college level to satisfy Title IX requirements. They have introduced it to the high school within those 8 years as well, but this is the first year that the state of California and CIF is recognizing it. So it's in its inaugural year. So there's a lot of learning and growing, but it's amazing. In fact, our first game is tonight, and we're super excited about it. But it's a really unique format. It's four quarters. The first quarter is stunting. The second quarter is pyramids. Third quarter is jumps and tumbling. And fourth quarter is a mixture of all three. And the teams go head-to-head on the same mat, and they learn the same exact routines, and they perform those routines, and judges do minor and major deductions, and points are awarded for each round, and there's four rounds in each quarter, and go from there, and you get points, and you win, and there's forfeits and strategies, and it's really exciting, and it's a little bit more understandable to people that don't know cheer. I know it's when you go to cheer competitions and you don't really understand cheer and you see this great routine, and you're like, oh my God, why didn't you win? You did this better.
Right.
And they don't really understand how judges work. Stunts, you kind of can see, oh yeah, I see how they were awarded the point for that. They did it better, or, you know, they dropped or whatever. So, it's going to really bring some more understanding to the sport of cheer as well.
Corey Johnson joining us, the cheer director at Costa Mesa High School, and we're talking about cheer being recognized finally by the CIF as a sport. In your opinion, and I know you've been the cheer coach for a long time, and you've been at the forefront, obviously, of a nationally recognized program. In your opinion, why did it take CIF this long to kind of get up to speed on this?
I think that there's a preconceived notion about cheer that it's not a sport. I mean, this topic has been debated for years about it. And I do agree, sideline cheer is not a sport. It involves athleticism, but it's not a sport. Competition absolutely is. And then the new game of stunt is too. So I think just all the debates had to happen. I know Varsity Brands was huge in going to CIF and getting stunt to be recognized. And I was on the CIF advisory panel for stunt and cheer as a sport as well. And, you know, there's so many discussions even within coaches and high schools, and a lot of coaches didn't want it to become a sport and a lot did. And there's just so much debate and controversy over so much stuff. It definitely does change what we knew about cheer. Not being able to compete or do things on Sundays definitely puts a damper on things. The amount of hours you can practice, et cetera. So following the CIF rules for a lot of programs really changes programs. I have always followed the CIF rules and considered cheer a sport since I've coached, because the girls do need to be recognized for their athleticism. just a lot of debate on it, and you know, you just really needed the people to get in there and really push for it.
Now the girls are able to choose this, you know, as a sport to participate in. Are we going to start seeing an influx of girls who are already involved with athletics, you know, maybe choosing cheer now and going in that direction as an athletic choice?
I think so. I know with my program, I have about 9 different teams to satisfy everybody's needs. Sideline now is perfect for girls that only want to cheer at games but want to play other sports that can't do the commitment of time for a competition-level program. You know, they want to cheer at the games. They want to cheer on their friends, their football players, et cetera. But they also maybe want to play water polo or volleyball, et cetera. So this kind of opens it up a little bit to athletes being able to do both. And then, you know, maybe some of the more hardened gymnasts and things like that, it'll enable them to do stunt because maybe they just want to tumble. They don't want to dance and cheer and that kind of stuff. They just want to, you know, show their athletic skills. And since a lot of schools don't have gymnastics anymore as a sport, this kind of fulfills that need a little bit as well.
Corey Johnson, the cheer director at Costa Mesa High School, our guest this week on Catholic Sports. Now, I mentioned, you know, Costa Mesa High School, national champions. Explain that to us, how that happened and what that means.
Well, we competed at USA Nationals in Anaheim back in February, and we won in 2 divisions. We won out in won in timeout cheer and in small non-tumbling. So super excited to bring back national championship to our school. We also went to Florida. That's where everybody sees, you know, on ESPN and everything. And we took 2nd in the nation, which was incredible. You know, Florida is the pinnacle of national competitions and stuff. So just amazing that our little school from Costa Mesa that has 1,200 students that can compete with these teams from the South, and these, you know, they come out of the womb doing toe touches. We always say, you know, they're so into cheer in the South. So it's pretty amazing that we are able to compete with those people and keep up at that level. And we, this year we just had an amazing season. And hopefully it'll continue with stunt this season with our winning.
We see most of the girls obviously on the sidelines of the football games, and they've got their pom-poms and then their boxes they stand on to cheer. And that's usually, I think, the thought in our mind when we think of cheerleading. What made you want to step it up a notch and build this program at Costa Mesa High?
Well, I went to Costa Mesa with you.
Mm-hmm, yes.
cheered you on when you played football. So I bleed green. I love Costa Mesa. I love, you know, a lot of times that people don't necessarily think of it as one of the, you know, forefront in sports, et cetera. So for me to be able to take our cheer program and make it be one of the nationally recognized programs is amazing. I want to be able to give my girls every opportunity that they can have to participate in things. So when the direction of cheer started flowing into a sport and stunt and everything, I knew, you know, this is huge and it's groundbreaking. So I wanted us to be in the beginning of it so that we could help move this movement and have cheer be a sport, et cetera. But mostly it's, I want the girls to have every opportunity that they can have, you know, and my administration has been great. My girls have been great. My parents have been great. It's hard work. It's hard work going from we go from Florida into USA Nationals into, we actually starred in our high school musical because they did the production of Bring It On, into stunt. Like, so literally from January through now, these girls have not had a break at all. You know, and usually this is their dead period. And they still are just as pumped. They want to win a CIF title. They're just excited for the opportunity and the opportunities it can bring them for college as well.
How many other schools across Orange County are we seeing at the level of what your program's at?
Well, sadly, for stunts, there are only 3 schools in Orange County participating this year. There's over 200 in the state of California, but only 3 in Orange County. So that kind of inhibited us a little bit because we're playing teams from Elsinore and Redlands and up in L.A. And, you know, these schools are driving 2 hours to get to us just to play some games. But hopefully next year and the following year, more schools will come aboard and realize that this is an amazing aspect of cheer. So right now in Orange County, it's only Korean Lutheran, Costa Mesa, and Godinez High School doing it.
I know it's been a sport. Obviously, the athletic ability involved to be able to do this, but now it's finally recognized. CIF is finally on board, and we're excited about it. Corey Johnson, thanks for joining us this week on the show. Good luck in your game, and good luck in the future as well. And we'll continue to follow this, as I know it's going to grow here, leaps and bounds, in the next couple of years here.
Thanks, Bob. I enjoyed being the guest.
Absolutely. That's Corey Johnson, cheer director at Costa Mesa High School. And guess what, folks? Cheer is finally recognized as a legitimate sport here in Southern California, and it's all for the betterment of the kids that are participating in it, and we're excited to cover it right here on Catholic Sports View. If you want to catch us here, it's CatholicSportsView@gmail.com. Send us any feedback. You have some story ideas, maybe an athlete or a coach or a team you want to hear more about. We're always open to suggestions here at the show. And at CatholicSV is our Twitter handle. That's at CatholicSV. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. We're always active on there as well. We thank you for joining us once again this week on Catholic Sports View, and we'll catch you next week right here on Relevant Radio.